Hello and welcome to Bricks and Mortar with Sarah Jackman. With the economic climate in the UK taking a downturn following the effects of COVID-19, what will the effect on the graduate jobs market be? Will there be a retraction of any existing offers? Will graduate placements be reduced for 2021? And will students have to be resourceful to find work experience placements, either for years out in industry or as part of explorations into the world of work? To discuss this with me, I'm joined by Jane Batchelor, a career consultant at Henley Business School at Reading University, and second year students at Reading, Megha Sharma and Toby Swindells. Many thanks for joining me today. Jane, perhaps I can start with you. What's your sense of how the current market for student placements, both in terms of internships and work experience, has been affected by the pandemic?
It's quite a difficult situation, Sarah. As I'm sure you and many of the people listening to this are aware, most of the larger real estate consultancy firms run formal four-week internships during the summer, which they use as a recruitment tool. And the vast majority of those have been cancelled. It was a great shame, but most of them got pulled. The only ones that actually ran through to do recruitment and actually selected people were Savills and Knight Frank. All the other firms kind of stopped it quite early on in the lockdown. And that has a massive impact on students' ability to get that exposure and insight into the industry that will help them both in their final year or going into a master's programme, and certainly can have an implication on their success in terms of sort of looking for graduate jobs. I suppose the only good thing is that because it's affected everybody, everybody going for a graduate job in 2021 will be in the same situation. So all of the HR staff in the big firms will see that if you haven't got an internship, that's not your fault. That was because we were in the middle of a global pandemic.
And in terms of what you're hearing then from property companies regarding their graduate placement schemes for 2021, what is the sense of what's coming through from firms at the moment?
I think it's a little bit too early to say with any certainty yet what firms will be looking for September 2021. I think the vast majority of the people who are involved in the recruitment in more senior level roles remember the global financial recession and remember that many firms did put a halt on recruiting, and that led to all sorts of complications and issues later on with having a skills gap within the workforce. So I think most firms, although can't say emphatically at the moment what numbers they're going to be looking for, I get the sense that most firms are pretty committed to wanting to hire for 2021. It's just they don't know yet what the number or the volume of that will be.
And when would you typically start to gear up for that process? And when do you expect to get more of a picture of what's going to happen?
This is the irony, is that the firms will be having those internal conversations over the summer for next year. So it's really hard, particularly in the middle of a global pandemic when we're in lockdown and we're getting second spikes, to try and predict what numbers they would want. The recruitment for graduate schemes tends to sort of open end of September, beginning of October. This is for real estate consultancies. It's slightly different for the finance sector, but for real estate consultancies, it sort of opens end of September, beginning of October. And then traditionally they close end of October, mid-November, and then there's a couple at the beginning of December. And all the recruitment is then done and dusted by the end of January, beginning of February. So they're trying to predict a good sort of 12 months, 6 months, 9 months in advance as to what numbers they would need in the September 2021. I think we might see, and again, firms haven't come back out and said emphatically that they're doing this, but we might see a pushback in terms of that recruitment cycle. So it might start a little bit later in the autumn. And I think that would benefit everybody, in honesty, because that would give the firms a chance to actually have a clearer picture of the economic landscape, have an understanding of what the situation is for their own business in terms of whether they're working from the office by that point or not. And of course, allow students a little bit longer to come to terms, particularly for the master's, incoming master students, come to terms with learning a new topic area and learning via the online platform as opposed to sort of physically being in the lecture theatre. So I'm hoping, although I don't have any inside line here, I can't reveal any big secrets, because as much as I might talk to them, Sarah, they don't tell me all of their news. I'm hoping that they might push it back a little bit so that we will start gearing up the early part of the autumn, and hopefully that recruitment might sort of be settled a little bit later in spring 2021.
And you mentioned it's slightly different for finance companies. What would the expectation be there?
So finance firms have always traditionally gone a lot earlier. And certainly this time with the internships, many of them have actually put on virtual internships. So they haven't disappeared in quite the same way that the real estate consultancies have. There have been a number of firms that have taken fewer summer interns, but done virtual internships. So traditionally, they would start to open for applications in the summer, generally about July, August time. And then they tend to close quite early in October, so middle to the end of October, and have all their recruitment done by December. I can't see that they will change that, because it's a well-entrenched pathway for the finance sector. And unlike the real estate sector, who work really collaboratively together, it's a great feature of the industry that there is a lot of collaboration and support for each other. On the finance side, it doesn't seem to be the same sense of working together to support the young talent coming through. The real estate divisions within the finance organisations tend to be a feature of a much bigger organisation who are investing across asset types. And so the real estate side of it is only a minor part. So unfortunately, we perhaps don't quite have the same influence there as we might do in firms that are purely focused on the real estate sector.
And do you anticipate that there will be any difference between perhaps the large property firms and their ability to be able to take in the same number of graduates next year and perhaps some of the smaller property companies?
It's quite interesting, Sarah, because I've been doing my role since sort of September 2011. And one thing that I've noticed, whenever there's financial unsettling of the market, for instance, when David Cameron announced we were going to have a vote, a referendum to leave Europe, and the markets contracted a little bit, smaller firms tend to react quicker and tend to respond and use the market force to their benefit in a much quicker way than some of the bigger firms do. I think that obviously all firms are going to be looking very carefully at the work they've got coming in and the income generation of those businesses to see whether or not they can justify taking on any additional headcount. But I'm hoping that that will be the case. And like I say, it's been my experience to sort of see that smaller firms, at a time when bigger firms are perhaps being a bit more cautious, smaller firms tend to be able to react much quicker and take on a headcount when they have a need for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that the recovery, I mean, there's lots of debates about whether it's going to be a deep V or a deep U, hoping to sort of recover relatively quickly and start to see some opportunities coming available.
Just thinking then, in what could potentially be quite a competitive jobs market, how do you think that students can best position themselves to take advantage of the opportunities that do come out?
Well, it's again been something that the larger real estate consultancies tend to hire on people's potential. So they're looking not necessarily for people to have had loads and loads of real estate experience anyway, but they are going to look at people's extracurricular activities. So what are they doing in their spare time? What have been their hobbies and their interests? Have they held down part-time jobs? Certainly with the global pandemic, they might look at to see if people have done volunteering and put themselves out there to sort of develop the transferable skills that they hire from. So for the larger real estate consultancies, they're looking for that attitude and the aptitude to work, rather than necessarily having that deeper knowledge and insight into how the real estate sector performs, because that's something that can be taught and can be encouraged throughout the graduate programme. What can't be developed is people's personalities and attitude towards work. So I think what I would sort of say to all students, regardless of what degree course they're doing or what background they're in, think about how you're spending your time. Think about how you can demonstrate your transferable skills of teamwork, communication, problem solving, being creative, coming up with new ideas to sort of traditionally difficult problems, and actually just sort of showing that you have a willingness to actually put yourself out there and be proactive. The more proactive you are about sort of enhancing your own employability, the better your chances of being employed are.
And what about the importance of things like building networks and the use of online contact and virtual contact during this period?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you speak to Megha, I'm sure Megha will be able to tell you how that's actually worked for her advantage. Networks are absolutely fundamental to real estate. It's a commonly used phrase, but I will say it again. You know, real estate is a people business. You've got to be able to talk to people, build relationships with people, understand how people use space and the way that people market and manage space to be successful within this industry. So there's never a bad time to start building your contacts and your network. And LinkedIn is a great tool for that. You know, most people have a professional profile online that they can reach out and they can start talking to people. And in my experience, most people within real estate are really open to actually having conversations with young talent to talk to them and share their experiences and their insight into the industry to help them with their own professional development. So it's something I would strongly recommend people do, absolutely.
So plenty there then that people could be doing ahead of perhaps going out to the jobs market for 2021.
Indeed, yes. I'm an optimist, and I think that when you think about the built environment, of course it's going to change. Society is changing, but we're always going to need physical space, because working from home, yes, allows us a degree of flexibility, and I don't think there's anybody that misses the commute, but what you do miss is that interaction with your colleagues, that sparking of ideas, those moments when you pass each other in a corridor and somebody says something, you think, I could do something with that. And that's something that cannot be replicated online in the same way. So I think there will always be a need for physical business space. And of course, you know, we're social beings. We like to socialise with people. We want to go to the pub or clubs or to the cinema where we can sit down and share experiences with people. So I think there will always be a need for physical real estate. And of course, if we are going to be working from home, residential is going to have to sort of adapt to accommodate that. So it's a really interesting time to join the sector. It might be challenging to secure that first job, but I think once into the industry, goodness me, you can have such an amazing career. It's going to give you great opportunities.
Megha and Toby, perhaps I can bring you in here. You've just finished your second year at Reading. You'll be going into your third year in September. How have you found the transition to online learning over the last few months?
We transitioned to online learning at the end of the second term. It was about a week before we went into our Easter holidays. So it was only the last bit of new material that we actually had online learning, because typically the summer term is for revision lectures. So there wasn't that much new material that was being taught online. And on the whole, I think the university transitioned to that very well, considering it was such a short space of time. Obviously, there were flaws to it in that we weren't able to interact with the lecturers in quite the same way as typically in person. But we did still have the ability to sort of write in a chat that the lecturer could see or turn on our microphone. So there was still that possibility. And I think as well, a good thing of being in lectures is you sort of sit with people and you can sort of in the break, if you've not quite understood something, you can chat with your peers next to you. So I know I was in like a little WhatsApp group chat of about 10 of us where we got to the sort of the break of the online lectures and we'd all sort of send a message to the chat and to try and keep that bit of normality there, even though it was such a weird transition, really.
That's interesting, actually, because Jane just mentioned there's informality that you get from being in an office, but actually there are some of those online tools, for example, WhatsApp, where you can have those support networks. It's not quite the same, obviously, as the face-to-face, but nice to know that you can have those informal bouncing of ideas and so on.
Yeah, I found it actually really useful. And we tried to keep as well, sort of over the Easter holidays, we'd be communicating in terms of revision as to what the best techniques were for learning certain bits of material. And we tried as well the social side as well. We'd do like a video call once a week or whatever, where we would just sort of not think of the course for a little bit of time and just enjoy ourselves as well. Obviously, it was a very strange time for everyone.
And Megha, does that echo your experience as well?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it sounds like Toby's made the right group of friends. They're doing all the right things. I think just to piggyback on what he was saying, I think another thing that you miss with online learning is speaking to teachers, you know, in the breaks and after lectures. Like it's mm-hmm. a little harder to put what you're trying to say into an email, or rather than showing them the piece of work you're talking about, it's a bit harder to help them understand online. So I think that's a bit of a loss. And also I think not having a library space and a collaborative space where, as Toby said, you know, you can speak to your peers, you know, ask some questions. I don't know if, Toby, you remember we met at the library. So I think it's a good social and collaborative space, which I think we're missing out on. But there are benefits, you know, you can watch lectures back. It really helped in terms of the revision lectures that we were able to go back and see what was touched on, you know, past papers. We can take our time to really understand what the professor's looking for. So yeah. I think there were drawbacks and positives, as always. The university again did a great job of it.
In terms of the direction that you'd like to take your career, do you both have fixed ideas in terms of what you're looking for and what you're hoping to secure when you graduate?
For the final year of the course, I'm going to be doing the appraisal and asset management modules. And that's kind of the direction I'm looking to go to for my career going forwards. I am still keeping an open mind about it. As we say, it's such a diverse and changing industry that it is, especially with recent events, that you have to keep an open mind, I think, as to what direction you want to go in. I think an internship this summer, which I unfortunately didn't manage to secure because of the so many being cancelled, would have been useful in really sort of solidifying what direction I wanted to go into. But I think I've got a pretty good idea on the whole in terms of the way I want to go. But yeah, as I said, keeping an open mind really to an extent.
And how about you, Megha?
Yes, similar situation. I think keeping an open mind is probably the best thing you can do for your career at this stage and in this job market. I'm quite set on investment and finance. I have been since I started real estate, and I think I'm staying that way. I was lucky enough to have secured two internships, one on the brokerage side, one on the investment side. So I think in terms of this summer, I really want to get to grips on what I kind of enjoy, what side I enjoy, how the businesses are different, how companies are structured. And regardless of where I end up, it will all help.
So in terms of the internship itself, how has the day-to-day worked? What's it actually involved?
It's different things every day. So sometimes I do a bit of work for asset management. I do some stuff for acquisitions and also finance. So data inputting, research, checking assumption summaries with the cash flows. It's quite varied.
And are you getting exposure to speaking to various different people around the business?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hines is really good with their initiatives and training, and you know, they have coffee mornings, they have drinks, all virtually. Even the training, like you meet so many people from different European offices. It's just great. Like I've met so many people from various different teams.
So it's given you a good insight, and also, I guess, good on the contact building side as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And in terms of transferable skills, then, what do you think it's given you by way of building up those additional skills?
I think one thing that I've seen has hugely improved, actually, is my ability to build relationships online. Mm-hmm. So I think that was one thing I was really scared of going into the internship. Since starting this whole month, I've just developed those kind of communication skills, and my confidence has really increased in terms of being able to talk to, you know, from analysts to senior people in the organization. I'm able to feel confident speaking with them. So I think that's really helped.
How have you found the virtual aspect to it rather than completing it face to face? Do you feel as though you're getting as much from it?
I would say so. I think that, of course, as Jane said, we are missing the impromptu conversations, the being in someone's eye line and being there. But I think, so Hines did a video on Global Perspectives a couple of weeks ago, which is on their YouTube, you can see it. And they identified four things that we do in the workplace. So we focus, we learn, we collaborate, and we socialise. And I think that during my time there, I've been there for about a month already. I've not missed out on either of those things. I wouldn't say that I've missed out.
What is different from relating to people in the online environment versus face-to-face? Do you think it's harder to sort of build up that rapport?
Rather than harder, I think it's more you have to have an agenda to meet people, whereas, you know, in the office, you would be able to have impromptu conversations over your desks, you know, like with people next to or near you. Whereas here, it's if I'm reaching out to someone, I have to have a reason. And in the meeting, I have to, you know, have specific tasks or specific things ready to talk about. Whereas that it wouldn't be so much of the case if it was face to face. Which is good and bad. Like, I don't feel like I'm almost wasting their time. I think, you know, it helps both parties get to know each other a bit better and understand what both parties are trying to do. I always have a good outcome from the meeting. So I think it's good in terms of that. I've not been doing it in previous internships, something like this. So I wouldn't know how it would be face to face. But I think it definitely helps with that.
You've got another internship lined up. Is that going to be structured in a similar way? What will you be doing then?
My other internship is actually only 1 week. So it will be quite different in that it will be a lot more of training, I think, seminars, workshops, as opposed to me doing actual work. And I think we'll get more information closer to the time. So I'm not 100% on what we'll be doing, but I do think it will be very different.
And in terms of securing those internships, how did you go about accessing them and securing them in the current climate?
I don't come from a property background. My parents both studied engineering. So I think Reading really helped in terms of bridging the gap. Luckily, I was on the investment and finance side. So all of my internships opened up earlier on. And I think Reading's careers fair really helped me. I spoke to different organizations, found out what I wanted and networked through that. And so one of the employers who were there, it was off the back of that, but not off the back, but as in, you know, like building rapport. I'd already applied to that firm. I think building a relationship really helped at the careers fair. And then this one was actually through networking. You know, I identified Hines and I reached out on LinkedIn to someone and got talking, and, you know, here we are. So luckily I missed the pandemic in terms of when I was applying.
Toby, just in terms then of work experience for you, I know you mentioned you're going to try and look for things over the summer. Have you got any thoughts on what you might try and do next, either looking for work experience in the property field, or as Jane mentioned before, just building up work experience generally so that you get some of the wider skills?
Yes, so as I said, I've had applied to quite a lot of internships. It was easily into the double figures, so it was a shame to see them all disappear. I remember I was on a video call with a friend, and by the time I'd come off it, two had been cancelled in the duration of that call. So it was a bit of a weird thing adapting to that, but going forwards I am going to try and get something property related, a bit of experience, and if all else fails with that, some kind of work experience, even if it's non-property related, just to try and have that professional awareness, really, of how businesses operate. And I've been fortunate that I've had quite a bit of work experience already in past years. So I feel like I'm not too disadvantaged. But as Jane said earlier on, it's such a people's business. And I think quite a rare thing for our course, really, is I come from a family which hasn't got any real estate links. So it's very much been a case of building up networks my own way. And that's either through LinkedIn or going to careers fairs at the university. In February, Jane organised visits to various companies in London. So trying to build up those connections and now really utilising those connections that have been made. But yes, if I can't get something real estate focused, then I'll try and get something, some kind of work. But in the meantime, I mean, I've just been trying to look at part-time jobs just in the local area. I come from quite a small town, so there's not much as it is. But then also in my spare time, I've been looking at sort of trying to teach myself coding to try and not just be sat at home all day doing absolutely nothing. So it's trying to do something at least, but it is quite a difficult time, really.
You mentioned coding. that's a great example of creating additional skills to add to your CV, just the sort of thing that Jane was referencing. How have you found that?
That's not been too bad, actually. I've never done anything like it before. It was something that I've been sort of wanting to do for a little while now. And I had sort of planned, right, after exams, I'm going to do that. So, yes, I've been cracking on with that sort of online courses to try and just build those skills, because I feel like even though I may not need to be able to do the coding myself going forward, I think it would be a great way of understanding those that are doing the coding in a team, for example, to really combine each other's skills to be able to work better together.
Teamwork, it's interesting that you referenced that. That's obviously a great skill to have in the future. Is that something about the real estate industry that appeals to you, that ability to be able to collaborate with various people of different specialisms?
I think absolutely, yes. From previous work experience that I've done, I've really enjoyed sort of the teamwork, and it's sort of a real feeling of togetherness to be able to crack on and feel like you're really achieving something when you're working in a team. So yes, I think any way that you can sort of really build your teamwork skills is definitely something that's worth doing.
You mentioned that two of the summer schemes that you were looking at disappeared quite suddenly. Was that the first indication to you of a contraction in the work experience market?
So I wouldn't say that was the first bit. There were sort of one or two that had sort of been cancelled a little bit beforehand, sort of a week or so before. But I kind of had an indication anyway. There was sort of the furlough scheme had been announced, and there were a lot of staff being put on furlough. So I wasn't expecting work experience to necessarily be going ahead if the main members of staff weren't able to work anyway at that time. Yeah. So I kind of had a bit of an indication, but it was still a little bit of a sudden realization when you get those emails pinging in saying, regrettably, we've had to cancel. So that was sort of a bit of a strange thing to come to terms with in a way.
Going into your third year, how do you see your focus just in terms of applying for jobs and concentrating your efforts over the coming months? How do you think that you'll start to sort of prioritize things?
I think I've been trying to sort of increase the commercial awareness anyway, and I think I'll continue to do that. And sort of going forward, then when it comes to applying for the jobs, obviously we don't really know at the moment how many graduate jobs there are going to be available. So I'll be trying to keep on the ball with what is coming available. I mean, Jane has been sending out emails sort of multiple a day at times where of sort of various opportunities that are coming and going, but I think trying to keep that awareness really. But obviously we don't know at this stage how many graduate jobs there are going to be available. I feel a little bit optimistic in that there is so much change happening with the real estate sector and the property market as a whole that I think people are going to be very busy with the change of demand in office space and people thinking, oh, I need an office at home. So I think there's going to be a lot of change. And so the sector's going to be busy, but it's where the firms are going to be able to take on new graduates. I think time will tell, really.
And Megha, how about you? I mean, you mentioned you've got another internship coming up after this. And then presumably you'll start in a similar way to Toby, just in terms of keeping your eyes peeled for opportunities that start to arise.
In terms of September, I will, number one, again, same as Toby, be focusing on the investment side, who's available, who's still offering grad jobs and places. And I'll also, me and a couple of other friends, we started a society for the investment and finance side. So I think I'd want to spend a lot of time on that. And with that, you know, getting employers from the investment and finance side accessible to students in Reading. Obviously people will find it so hard to find jobs in this market, so I think the society will be a really good middleman, let's say, to get more employers out there.
If we could just go on now just to talk about the society.
Two of us kind of co-founded it, and another one of our friends has been very involved. So I would say three of us co-founded it, and we had been talking about it since first year. So this whole year we kind of spent setting it up with our students' union. And I think now this summer we're planning on doing webinars. So what we aim to do in the society is develop commercial awareness, help students learn technical skills, and also raise awareness of and connect future employers to students, hopefully. And the ways we are doing that over summer, we're hoping to do a few podcasts. So we've already got one speaker who has said that they'll do a webinar, a non-recorded webinar, but we're hoping to get more people who are happy to do podcasts. And I think that will really help students in terms of staying engaged throughout the summer and just in general, you know, develop commercial skills as well.
And how many students and employers have you managed to engage in it so far?
So we're still in on the early stages. At the moment, the Reading Real Estate Foundation gives us mentors. So at the start of the year, anyone who wanted mentors were given different people in different organisations at different levels of their corporate life. And so, for example, we all reached out to our mentors first. And my mentor was very happy to do the webinar. He's one of our speakers that we've got. And the other two co-founders have also got their mentors. Jane's been super helpful in terms of connecting us to people. We've just a few hours ago reached out to someone else who Jane connected us to. So on that side, we've had a lot of help from Reading and Jane. And on the student side, we're at the moment still developing our social media. And, you know, we're posting, we're going to start following students in our year. I think what will be hard is trying to get master's students on, because we probably won't know them for a while. But again, I think Reading will really help with that. And so will Jane. That's where we stand right now. Hopefully in a few weeks, it will be a bit more developed.
Sounds really interesting. So did you perceive there was a bit of a gap for something along those lines when you joined?
Yeah, so in terms of having a gap, we did see that there's a really good Reading Real Estate Society for socials and, you know, for meeting people and students. On that end, that was fully covered. And as a university, the real estate part of Henley Business School just does so many different networking events. And so we thought those parts were covered. So we thought that there was definitely a gap in terms of investment and finance and employers in that section, because I think a lot of people want to go into consultancy and brokerage in our year. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we sort of saw the gap. For example, if I mention any of my internships, there would be a lot of people who perhaps didn't know that certain companies or like all the ones that I was applying to, the brand recognition wasn't as big as, you know, your big consultancies. So I think we saw that gap, and that was how we kind of decided to create it.
Jane, perhaps then a final word from you, just in terms of seeking out opportunity in the current market. I mean, it sounds like you've got a really good dialogue with the various companies, and you're able to sort of filter through any opportunities to Toby and Megan and their peer group. But I just wondered, in terms of seeking out opportunity over the coming months, what can graduates be doing?
But I think it's really important that people are building up their commercial awareness, following the property news, and really looking at what's going on in the sector, and then applying that great university tool of thinking. Oh, how lovely to think. What does this mean? So if they seal a deal or a transaction or the latest announcement from Boris Johnson that he's going to build, and spend all this money, what does that mean in terms of what possibilities might there be? What opportunities might open up as a consequence of that? And then being proactive at reaching out to people and asking questions. Well, what does it mean? What will this mean to you as a firm? What will this mean to you as a sector or to an asset type or to a function within the real estate consultancies? And actually just develop that curiosity to ask. And sometimes, you know, it is a case of being in the right place at the right time when things just sort of all happen to fall into place. There is also the property press, like yourself. You have a great careers part and have the EG jobs where you advertise all sorts of opportunities. And that, again, is a really useful tool for people to be looking at and seeing which companies or which recruiters are advertising and having conversations with those people, because they might not be entry level jobs at this point. But if they are expanding, they are taking people on, well, then who knows what they might be looking for in the future.
Jane, Toby, Megha, thank you very much indeed for joining me today. It's been a really interesting conversation. And Toby and Megha, I wish you all the very best with your future career.
Thank you very much.
That was Bricks and Mortar from EG with Sarah Jackman. For more information on developing a career in real estate, see the archive of the Bricks and Mortar series at podbean.com and the EGI archive at egi.co.uk.